Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 54, Brianna Moeller Crete. Okay, get ready to realize we as men need to step up our game. This is the fourth in the Women in E-Commerce series that we're doing. And let me tell you, we are falling behind, men. These women are crushing us. This woman, Brianna, is no exception. As the phrase goes, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person because it will get done. Brianna sells on eBay, Amazon, Etsy, Bonanza, merch. She's got a listing group she's part of. I mean, she is crushing it. She's had an amazing year. And in this segment, we spend some time talking just about, you know, how she got to where she is. And it's such a great story. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And, man, I'm really excited about this guest tonight because she is crushing it. And what's so cool is she has every reason not to be crushing it, and she does it anyway. She has every reason to only be doing one thing, and yet she's got her toe in, I think I counted six different marketplaces. And I just think that, you know, having your eggs, you don't believe in having your eggs in one basket, that's for sure. I'm just really excited. Welcome, Brianna Moeller Crete. Welcome, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Man, I know you've been busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
And you're finally breathing? I mean, are you taking a breath yet, or are you still crushing it?
No, I'm still crushing it. I don't really have an off switch. So
you don't. It doesn't look like. I watch the posts out there, and I'm always like, oh, my God, here she is. Boom. Here she is. Boom.
Yep.
So you've been selling a long time, and I'm not calling you old because I'm old. You're not. But you've been selling a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, what really interests me in the pre-show we talked a little bit is that you really didn't start FBA till a year and a half ago, 19 months ago. So that means you must have been merchant fulfilling a ton of stuff.
I actually only dabbled in it prior to May of 2014. Pretty much I was primarily eBay, probably doing around $10,000 a month in sales on eBay for several years. And I started to think about, you know, how am I going to expand my business? So I started to look into Amazon, didn't know a whole lot about it. Dabbled in a bit of merchant fulfilled and just listed what I could. Mostly I was shopping at thrift stores, and I really didn't start, you know, I didn't make a whole lot in sales until I started Amazon FBA in May of 2014.
Well, what were you selling for eBay when you were selling? I mean, that's kind of what I meant. Is you were shipping a ton of stuff,
yeah,
right, for eBay. If you're doing $10,000 a month and your average sale is $25, I mean, you're selling a ton of stuff.
There were days, even the day that I had our daughter, I shipped out probably 60 to 70 packages that morning, having contractions,
kidding?
Not knowing I was having contractions, but knowing I got to get these packages out. Yeah, it was a lot.
That's so funny. I mean, I can relate. I still sell a lot on eBay. And so, you know, I think we shipped last year 2,000 pieces. And so, you know, it's about 35 a week.
Yeah.
And so there were days you're shipping 20 or 30 items, and there are days you're shipping two, you know,
yeah.
So, but not 60 or 70.
Oh,
I mean, that's really crushing it. How did you handle, what was your specialty? What were you selling?
Primarily clothing and shoes, both pre-owned and new. And I did get a little bit into vintage clothing. It wasn't really my expertise, but I was interested in it. And, you know, pretty much anything I could find that I could flip. I mean, I was even doing crazy things like lamps. And at one point I sold several coffee tables that I had to package and ship.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, where were you doing this, out of your house?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Even Amazon Now. It's right out of my house.
Really?
Yes.
And so, you know, you were selling clothing. Now, were you buying it all at thrift stores, even new with tags, yard sales and stuff? Or were you going into the Kohl's 80% clearance kind of thing,
yes,
too, or something?
I was doing a little bit of both. I was definitely hitting the rummage sales, the thrift stores. I was hitting TJ Maxx and Marshalls. Those were like my TJ Maxx and Marshalls in particular are like my second home. Like, I've been shopping there forever. And that's actually how I started my eBay business. About 10 years ago was shopping at TJ Maxx and purchasing handbags that I could flip on eBay. Just and back then I thought it was great to, you know, pay $150 and sell it for $180 and, oh my gosh, I made $30. But, you know, that's kind of how I started with it.
And you're not doing that anymore. You're not paying $130 for $180 on Amazon, that's for sure. But did you, you know, I guess that because I always struggle, you know, when I go to TJ Maxx or Ross is similar, Marshall, they're all the same kind of thing, right? You know, I struggle because the barcodes don't work, right? So for a guy, I look at, you know, I go to the women's section. It all looks the same to me. I mean, it's like I have no clue what any of this stuff is and how to measure it and how to do those things. I guess you have an advantage because you figured out what was selling on eBay, so you could just translate that. If it was selling on eBay, it'll sell on Amazon, correct?
Yes. In most cases, I also was just kind of raised in a family that shopped. I was a competitive figure skater as a child, and we traveled all over the place for my competitions, and frequently the mothers and daughters, we would just spend our time shopping when we weren't, you know, out practicing or out competing. And, you know, I kind of learned how to find a really good deal in stores like TJ Maxx and what brands to look for and how much to pay. And so I guess I kind of just grew up around it. So it just came, you know, naturally to me when I started to look towards it as a secondary source of income.
It's funny. I interviewed Brett Bartlett, and he has an eBay team. He's had it 4 years. He actually has people that go out and buy for eBay for him. Every weekend they go to yard sales. That's what they do. And he said the best people are the people that grew up being thrifty, going to those things, who just understood it. They just know what a bargain is or what a deal is and one quality.
Yeah.
And so you're saying the same thing. That's really cool.
Yeah, I could actually even – it's funny. And I still go to TJ Maxx and Marshall's. I can look at the clothing rack, and I can even just feel the quality of the material. And so I can flip through very quickly, like rack after rack after rack, and I'll stop when I feel a quality item or when I see it, you know, obviously when I see an expensive tag on an item that's been marked down. But it's just years of experience in doing it.
So you can tell fakes too then?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at it.
That's good, because that's a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I had a whole bunch of Coach bags. I didn't even sell them because I'm like, I have no clue. I talked to Coach and they're like, they even take the, you know, the serial number, you know, stamp leather inside.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, they fake those too. And I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. So I just gave them at my office. I was a hero at my office. They're like, what? Are you real? I'm like, you're going to have them. What am I going to do with them? You know, my wife didn't want them. Hey, I had 3 minutes of being a hero and now I'm back to being, you know, tough guy. But, So I'm thinking about, would you ever consider, or have you, maybe you are doing it, have you done private label clothing?
I haven't, but it's funny you say that.
See?
Oh, it's on the to-do list. I've actually been in Andy Slaman's private labeling class for the last year, but I haven't had the time to really pull the trigger on private labeling anything. But certainly I have a couple of clothing items in mind, and I'm hoping in January of 2016 to launch a couple of private label products finally.
Well, if you haven't kept up on his class, he hasn't launched a new one yet this year, but he's made a big change, and he has a gentleman who lives in China, and for a minor fee, when you all consider what you have to do for it, it's a minor fee, mm-hmm. he'll actually go and find the factory for you and do a whole bunch of the thing and ensure the quality before it ships to you.
Oh, that's
it. So reach out to Andy when you get a chance and check on it, because that really takes a lot of the learning curve away. And I just listening to you, when you have that much knowledge about something mm-hmm. and you're that comfortable around it, and especially since you know what they're going to buy, man, you're just primed for that success with that. And that'd be cool. That'd be really cool. Well, I'd like a little percentage of it. You know.
I'm definitely like excited about getting into it. You know, I have my little to-do list and I keep trying to knock things off of it. And so that's definitely up there coming up.
Well, Lord knows you don't have enough going on. Now, wait a second. I want to talk about that, because you sell on Amazon. Well, you used to sell heavy on eBay. You still sell on eBay, but you sold heavy on Amazon.
Yeah.
You sell on Bonanza.
Yeah.
Do you have both your eBay and Amazon automatically feeding Bonanza?
So basically I have Bonanza synced with eBay.
Okay.
And then I also subscribe to Sellbrite and Auto MCF. So what I do is I take my Amazon inventory and I quickly list it, when I get the time through Sellbrite, on eBay. And then the Auto MCF allows, for the automatic multi-channel fulfillment through Amazon. So it's basically hands-off. So, for instance, I sold a few Amazon items this week on eBay, but there's nothing I need to do. The program just automatically tells Amazon, you need to ship this item, here's the address, and it ships it out.
Now, that's Auto MCF, right?
Yes.
Okay. How expensive is that, if you wouldn't mind saying?
I'm trying to remember. I want to say Cellbrite itself is $150 to $200. Originally, AutoMCF was an add-on, and you got a discount if you were already a Cellbrite subscriber for maybe $24. But I seem to remember that one of their packages now includes AutoMCF. Basically, the reason for the need for the AutoMCF is that Cellbrite can't sync your FBA inventory quantities right now. They're working on, I believe, integrating that into their program. So the AutoMCF will identify, you know, the fact that maybe you only have a quantity of one and you sell it on eBay, it's immediately going to tell Amazon that, you know, that the inventory is gone, and vice versa. If I sell it on Amazon, it immediately pulls my eBay inventory, so I don't, you know, oversell a product I don't have.
Well, I want to talk about a little bit more deeper on that, because I think you just blew my mind the way you got all of them working. I know someone I interviewed, Mike Markison, and he had said that he uses Bonanza, and he has his Amazon inventory going to it, and he had his eBay inventory going to it. But you took it a step further. You're just saying, hey, wait a second, my eBay inventory is my Amazon inventory, maybe some additional, whatever.
Yeah.
But that automatically syncs up with Bonanza. So, and that works really well. I know it does.
Yeah.
And so you've really taken the full circle. Now, when something sells on Bonanza, does AutoMCF automatically tell Amazon to ship that too?
It does not. Right now,
okay, you have to manually handle that one.
And of course, Bonanza is a little bit slow in general with syncing. So I don't really sell that much on Bonanza, but occasionally I do. You know, an example, I had a espresso machine that, you know, the price kind of tanked on it. And, you know, I don't know what I may have purchased it for, say, $80. And then it was getting down to $150, $160 on Amazon. But it was also listed on eBay and Bonanza, and I sold it for $360 on Bonanza. So
go figure.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. But, you know, why not do it? There's no cost unless it sells.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of Bonanza. That's the only reason I could see somebody doing it. But you've also dipped your toe into Etsy. So what I'm going to do is take a quick break, and I want to come back, and I want to hear about that, and I want to hear what your strategy overall, because you also have another e-commerce business. And so I'm telling you, this, and now you're telling me you're going to do private label. Well, you're incredible. So, all right, let's take a quick break. Okay. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. Okay, I'm sure we're all feeling a little inadequate right now, because you're saying, man, I got to step it up. But in this segment, this is where I think this is the learning point, right? So when you start to figure things out. So Brianna answered some questions for me earlier in the series, you know, maybe in my top 10 interviews or 20 interviews, first 20, I interviewed a gentleman by the name of Michael Markison. And he talked about how he had his Amazon linked to Bonanza, and then he had his wife's eBay linked to Bonanza. And I thought, huh, that's clever. And he's like, you know, there's no work. If it sells, I pay fees, and they're lower than either the other products. And if it's an Amazon item that sells, I just tell Amazon to ship it. It's pretty simple. So I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Brianna takes it a step further. She says, wait, I take my Amazon, and I use Cellbrite and AutoMCF, two separate companies, not that expensive. That takes my Amazon listings, move them over to eBay. Then I take my eBay and link it to Bonanza. So all the Amazon listings move over to eBay. eBay, all the listings move over to Bonanza. Genius, right? Gets rid of a step. But then she takes it a step further. She says, well, the cool thing about Cellbrite is Cellbrite will link with Etsy. So she's allowed to take her eBay collectible items and sell them on Etsy in the same store. Again, there's a little bit of manual work or whatever, but it's the same content moving over, not having to create all these listings. That's the efficiency. And she said, well, I'm going to take it a step further. Cellbrite also will link up with Shopify. Boom. Now you've hit the mother load, right? So now you have your own standalone site. So this is golden knowledge. somebody who's pulled it all together. And again, you got to give it to a busy person to figure it out. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with the ever crazy busy Brianna Mower Green. Oh my God, I can't keep up with it. Your husband must run circles around him. Is he as intense as you are?
He's pretty intense himself, yes.
Okay. Is it competitive? Are you guys competitive?
We're not. We're really supportive of one another, and we do totally different things for our careers. And, I can't even fathom what he does. He owns an auto body shop, and he's very skilled at electrical work, and he's done all the construction on our home himself, and he knows a lot, totally out of my realm of expertise, and, you know, vice versa. He's like my biggest cheerleader and my biggest support system, but he's like, I don't know what you're doing.
Did that competitive, I guess it goes back to your skating thing, right? I mean, were your parents, obviously they were involved in your skating career.
Yeah.
Somebody had to be, because, you know, you have to cart you around forever, right?
Yeah.
States and travel all the time. Mm-hmm. What did they do for a living?
My parents, they have always been self-employed, actually.
Okay. So there is that entrepreneur independent spirit.
Yeah.
Even started before ice skating.
And, both sets of grandparents as well, have been self-employed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So do you think, you know, your child will be an entrepreneur? I mean, is it in the DNA? There's no way around it?
I think it is. Funny thing is, I was always that child that was scheming some way to make a little extra money. I mean, literally at 6 and 7 years old, I would clean out my bedroom. I would pick up pine cones. I would paint rocks. I'd throw them in a wagon, and I'd be going door to door trying to sell these things. I would even go over to friends' houses and say, hey, let's clean out your room. Do you have anything you want to get rid of? Let's go sell it. And we would be knocking on the neighbors' doors trying to sell it. So it's funny that, you know, out of my entire family, who are all entrepreneurs, I actually went into education and I was a teacher for 8 years. And then
8 years. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, the final year, I decided I wanted to get into administration, so I went back for a second master's degree. And the last 6 months of my career in education, I was the assistant principal, and I just finally said, you know what, this isn't for me. I'm not passionate about it. I'm and of course I was selling eBay part time throughout all this.
You know, I want to ask a little bit about that. So why did you go into education? What, because you were competitive skating up, you know, I guess through high school and college?
Yeah.
So what was your degree in?
Well, I finished skating in high school.
Okay.
And I was very strong in math and science in high school. And as a part-time job, though, I would coach the younger children.
Okay.
And so that kind of like spurred the desire to maybe become a teacher. And then because I was really good at math and science, I ended up getting teaching certificates in biology and chemistry. And I was my first job that I had the entire 8 years, I was a middle school science teacher teaching 7th and 8th grade science. And then I was also creating online courses for the district. So that's kind of where the internet piece came in. I would create online courses for teachers and their professional development. And then I also created online courses for the advanced placement students in science. So then the two worlds started to come together, and I really started to explore more of, you know, what was on the internet and what was available, started eBay, you know, and then it just kind of snowballed from there.
So every teacher that I remember in high school in the summer, they were painters. For some reason, everybody painted. Yeah. Or one guy was cut some wood. He was firewood cutting. He lost his toe. I remember the tree fell on him or some story, but it was an awful story, a true story. But, you were selling on eBay in your off time.
Yes. Oh, I was a maniac with it.
Were you really? Even all summer?
Oh, man. And all during the school year. I mean.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did you manage that during the school year?
Well, it was crazy. You know, I moved out 45 minutes away from my place of employment, and I was commuting 45 minutes one way, so an hour and a half each day. And I was selling part-time on eBay. And, I mean, I was just working late at night. And actually the last year, when I was the assistant principal, I was also finishing my master's degree, my second master's at the same time. So I was literally like crazy.
You're like you are right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just over, you're an over busy person.
Yeah,
that's your nature.
Yeah, it's just ingrained in me.
Yeah, that sounds like it. But wasn't that the way it was with skating? Because you would have had to skate either before school or after
Absolutely.
School, like forever.
And that's kind of where I learned to like manage my time. I learned a lot of discipline. I mean, you got right out of school. You know, I remember early on in 9th and 10th grade, you know, you left, you went right over there to train. You were training for several hours. You went home, you did your homework, you went to bed, and it was like a cycle. And, you know, you had to miss some school, and you still were expected to, you know, obviously make up your homework and maintain a great grade point average. And it was a lot of work, but it really taught me a great work ethic and how to organize, you know, my day and budget my time.
And you didn't die.
No.
You know, I mean, I think people are afraid. You know, it's funny. I look at people, you know, I'm an accountant by trade, and so I kind of know what people make where I work. And I watch them, and I say to myself, you know, why won't they, you know, give a little more effort,
yeah.
you know, and just go and do something, you know, a B plan, get their own side hustle, as
yeah.
You know, some of the phrase out there. You know, I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. Mm-hmm. I just do it. I mean, it's just that's the way it works.
Yeah.
I have a full-time job, so I do it every single day. And I don't think anything of it. To me, I'm not going to die from it. I mean, I like working, and I'm good at it, you know, and I'm home with my family, but I sacrifice on the other end, similar to what you described.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's challenging in your life now is you have a child.
I do.
How old?
She's 3. She just turned 3.
So she just turned 3.
Yeah.
That's got to add a little bit of a twist to what you do.
Yes, it does.
So, but the world didn't end. You didn't have to curl up in a ball, and you were able to find a way again to, you know, this series I'm doing on women in e-commerce, it's a real common theme. There's nothing stopping you guys.
Right.
You know, you get sick, you still work, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where I would be in the corner crying, you know, and sucking my thumb saying, oh, my God, I got a call. I'm dying, right? As a guy would be. But it's just so funny to hear you just describe this. There's no wonder why you're having incredible success. It's really hard work and learning from it. But now you're doing Etsy. Now, what are you selling on Etsy?
Yes, I haven't been as active on Etsy in the last few months with just focusing on Q4 with Amazon, but I have been quite active in the last year, you know, about 3 months out. So, and actually, Sellbrite is compatible with Etsy as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So what I would do is any of the vintage items that I had, everything from vintage shoes to dresses to coats to furniture, lamps, home decor, I would cross market that on Etsy. So
from Amazon or from eBay?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So I want to go back to this again.
Sure.
So Amazon Supply, or you know, you're selling Shopkins on Amazon.
Yep.
They automatically feed over to eBay if you told it to,
yes.
right? So you have to pick and choose what you want from Amazon
right.
to go over to eBay,
mm-hmm.
and you're using Sellbrite to do that.
Yes.
Okay. So that works.
Yes.
Then you link, I guess Bonanza has its own link to eBay.
Correct?
Well, okay. So you'd have those same Shopkins can be on Amazon for one price.
Mm-hmm.
You tell it to go over to eBay. You can tell it the price to mark it up,
yep.
to mark it down, to leave it the same,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Or you can add on.
Yep.
That same thing also feeds over to Bonanza, and you can basically do the same thing, correct? You can add and subtract and
Absolutely.
Things like that.
Yep.
Okay. And so now you're saying if that was a – all right, so that would be it. That wouldn't go on Etsy. You couldn't sell Shopkins
right.
on Etsy.
Right.
However, you're selling a Coach bag,
mm-hmm.
right, a vintage Coach. You use Coach bag.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to put that on Amazon.
Right.
You're putting that on eBay.
Right.
And you're using Sellbrite to move that – well, I guess automatically that goes on Bonanza again,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Through Bonanza. But you also have the option of moving it over to Etsy.
Yeah.
Now – how do you manage? I mean, it sounds very complicated. It does. It does sound to an outside guy like me. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, it sounds really complicated. Is it that complicated?
It's not. But maybe that's because it was a slow progression to getting towards that. Before I even knew Sellbrite, you know, existed, and before I was really heavy into Amazon, I was already linking my eBay account to my Bonanza account, and I was already cross-marketing some of my vintage items from eBay on Etsy, but I was just doing it all manually. So if something, you know, my Etsy sales were certainly not as frequent as my eBay sales were at one point. And so if an item sold on Etsy, I would just pull it off eBay and vice versa. I would just make a note to myself in both accounts that I had to pull, you know, the listing off of the opposite marketplace. So I think I had my mind wrapped around that. And so when I started Amazon, and then found Sellbrite, it was just kind of a natural progression to allow me to integrate all of those things together.
So here I am, right? So I'm thinking about somebody who's relatively new, has not used other channels, right? Maybe they sold on eBay and they have an eBay account. So would you recommend the first place to start is to take your Amazon inventory and move it over to eBay?
As far as if they're new to Amazon?
Well, no, they're selling on both platforms. They probably, you know, I think the natural progression for most people, similar to you and I, is you start selling on eBay, right? And you have some success or whatever, and then somebody says, hey, have you checked out Amazon? Mm-hmm. That's a lot easier. You don't have to create the listing and blah, 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 blah. Oh, wow. And they get a little toe in the water, and then they're like, what's this FBA thing? Mm-hmm. And then they start doing an FBA, and then all of a sudden eBay kind of falls. People are, you know, I think that's the natural progression, right?
Yeah.
And so – you know, they're having some success on Amazon, but as you say, you know, there are things that will, you know, go down in value.
Right.
So if you could take advantage of it, and if you're selling the same Shopkins on two different platforms, they are two different people typically that are buyers, right, from an Amazon. So is that the best place, or is the best place to just start with your eBay and put it on Bonanza? I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Oh, I would definitely be going, focusing more on Amazon and then listing on eBay.
Okay.
Bonanza for me is very, very slow.
Okay. So if you want to have success, right, and that's what your advice is,
is
to start, take your Amazon inventory, use – no, you're not using Joe Lister. You're using Sellbrite.
Right. And I have heard of very – you know, a lot of positives about Joe Lister as well. It's just that when I initially, probably 6 to 9 months ago when I started Sellbrite, Joe Lister didn't have a package that was large enough to handle the volume that I was listing. So I just sort of said, okay, I'm going to go with Sellbrite. But as far as I know now, I believe they will actually create for you a special package if you are pushing out a volume that's larger than the listed packages they have. So certainly it's something to look into. And they, as far as I know, they don't also require the auto MCF to control the multi-channel fulfillment. It's just something that's embedded in their program.
Okay. And you're saying Sellbrite's going to catch up to that pretty quick.
Yes.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
So it supports other – what I like about Sellbrite is it supports so many other marketplaces. The other thing on my to-do list is to create a Shopify store.
Okay. And they'll do that.
Yeah.
Now, I believe Shopify also will sync up automatically with Amazon on their own. They just created a link. But – you know, why not? But that creates another challenge. Why not have them all go through? And if Sellbrite does, you know, Etsy and all the rest of these, boy, you've really completed the circle.
Yeah.
Now, have you tried Rakuten or Newegg or Sears or any of those?
I haven't. I've looked at them, but minimally, and I haven't gone, you know, through any of those routes yet.
Yeah, I've not heard that the volume is there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing, quite frankly, on Etsy. I have not found a successful Etsy sellers. I know I read the stories.
Yeah.
And I think those tend to be the artists that really do quite well because they're artists. You know, they're not selling the stuff that I would sell. I have not run into a really successful Etsy seller yet. I know they exist. I just have not in my circles run into one.
Right.
I'm looking for one to interview because I'm really interested to hear more about the marketplace there. But I have not found any of my stuff worth listing because the traffic just isn't as high as eBay, for example.
Yeah.
You know, I sell vintage toys. Well, you know, it's just really, it's an eBay market, you know, today.
Absolutely. And I do have to say, definitely the volume on Etsy is very, very low. However, there have been some vintage pieces that I found, mostly home decor, like the coffee tables I spoke of earlier, or some clocks, where on eBay, maybe they were selling for, you know, I don't know, $100 when you looked at the sold listings, but then, you know, I pop it on Etsy and sell it for $400. I certainly had to wait, but, you know, it wasn't moving on eBay either, so it was worth the time to use Sellbrite to pop it on Etsy too and, hey, you know, make an additional $300 out of it because, you know, someone who was knowledgeable about that piece or was looking for a special piece was on Etsy.
Well, I think the cool part about Etsy is you can make it a true boutique store, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to have the volume of listings.
No.
You can pick and choose the premium listings and put them in there because that's what you would expect as a premium store. Their problem now is that they've allowed the third party, I don't want to be offensive, but the cheaper quality items to come from overseas.
Yeah.
They've infiltrated. I don't know how they turn that off.
It's not true vintage or true handmade.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know how to turn that off, but it's interesting. So now when something does sell on Etsy, you have to merchant fulfill it again too?
Yes.
Or you could use, if it was, well, I guess you wouldn't have it on Amazon. I mean, right. Logically, you wouldn't. So you're merchant fulfilling. So how many items are you shipping a week now out of your home still, outside of Amazon? Or even including Amazon merchant fulfilled?
Honestly, I do hardly any Amazon merchant fulfilled. I do whatever I can to send it into FBA. In fact, okay. This was the first Q4. Well, it's only my second Q4, but, you know, last year during quarter four, I did a lot of merchant fulfilled, but this time I just kept sending it in. And I really haven't had a whole lot that I had to ship out. I just kind of felt like my plate was full. People are still going to order from the warehouse. You're still going to sell your toys, your small appliances, clothing. You're still going to sell it even after Christmas Day, as people are spending their Amazon gift cards or maybe having late Christmases or, you know, just spending some extra money they have. So I just keep sending it into the warehouse.
Yeah, that's smart. Now, I want to ask this question. So what you were selling when you started selling on Amazon a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. 19 months ago, how different is it today?
Very different.
Okay, so you've learned what not to do, in essence, right? What not to buy.
Well,
I think that's an art.
Yes. Two things. I learned what not to buy, and I actually have a buying budget now, funds that I can use to purchase. I mean, when I started Amazon in May of 2014, I had a significant amount of credit card debt. I did have my eBay store. I was really good at going to thrift stores and rummage sales and, you know, the TJ Maxx clearance sale, you know, buying things for a dollar that I could sell for 50 to 100 times their what I paid for them. And that's all I could handle. I didn't have the budget to be purchasing anything. So really my Amazon store started in Amazon FBA started for me with thrifted items that I could, ship in, whether it's a used appliance that had all of its parts still, or whether it was a new item that I got at the semi-annual TJ Maxx clearance sale. I just did what I could with the limited budget I had and just kept reinvesting. I also went through my entire eBay store, and anything at all that was listed in the Amazon catalog, regardless of what the rank was, I just sent it in so I could have something.
No kidding. Okay.
To start.
But, yeah, let's talk about that a second. Because you're trying to work through your inventory and you want to reduce your workload, mm-hmm. right? Hence the reason moving to FBA.
Right.
So that's really good sound advice. So you went through your eBay inventory and said, because you're going to bring it back through anyway.
Right.
So in essence, I mean, it's really smart. Now, were you getting crushed with storage fees from Amazon?
No. I mean, the funniest thing is it was – you know, things moved quickly. Maybe I just lucked out at the beginning when I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just choosing good items to begin with because they were selling on eBay. But, you know, I lucked out. The stuff moved, and, you know, I was able to basically, you know, eBay paid my bills and paid just a little bit of my debt. And I was thinking, you know, how I really want to get into Amazon, but how am I going to fund this? So I continued to pay my bills. And then instead of working on my debt immediately, I took what little leftover I had and just kept reinvesting that into Amazon and snowballing it.
And snowball. And when did you hit that pinnacle? So you were 19 months into it. When did you hit that point where you crested and you started going down the hill instead of climbing up the hill?
Well, it's funny, you know, starting in May, it didn't, you know, immediately.
May of this year?
May of 2014.
Okay. Oh, 2014.
When I started. You know, it didn't immediately click for me. I mean, selling on eBay for 10 years, your brain is trained to say, I can get this item for a dollar and sell it for $40. And
right.
You don't quite see the full picture of Amazon FBA yet. So I struggled, as a lot of new sellers do, for those first few months trying to just figure out what I was doing. Like, what am I supposed to be selling? This makes no sense to me. I'm not seeing the profit margins. And I actually, you know, laid off of it for a little bit and then went back into it and laid off a little bit. And then right around October, November, when Q4 started to hit, all of a sudden, you know, it was a little bit easier for me to find things, not having experience in product sourcing. And by, I think right around this time last year, I did $15,000 for the month and thought, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like, how can I, you know, continue this after Q4. What am I going to do? I can't just keep thrifting items. I'm not going to be able to increase my sales that way. So I turned to what I naturally know how to do, and that was shoes and clothing. And, you know, by that time I had enough, a little bit of money that I could spend on shoes and clothing, and immediately figured out how to get myself ungated and started buying up shoes and clothing.
And were you buying mostly from TJ Maxx and Marshalls, so you were getting really good pricing, or were you, you know, hitting the, I don't know, a regional store by you? I mean, where were you getting most of your product back then?
I was doing a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I was going to auctions. For instance, there was a women's boutique, a high-end boutique that went out of business, and I was buying new tag items there. I got.
And you knew what to buy. I mean, again, yeah. That's that whole experience that you've been prepared. As I always say, Joy Packard always says, you know your why. You were prepared. One thing led to another.
Right.
You were
yep.
right there.
And then, you know, of course, shopping at TJ Maxx and Marshalls. And I did start dabbling right around that time period. I read Chris Green's book, Online Arbitrage, and I started dabbling with, you know, watching the Amazon drop list. And, you know, I was used to shopping at stores like Lord & Taylor and Macy's, and I would hit those clearance racks, but I thought, like you could probably find things online in their clearance section too.
Yeah.
And so that I started to, you know, kind of just go to the stores I was most familiar with shopping at and, you know, hitting them online as well.
Yeah, because you double or triple your tentacles, right? You're like an octopus because you can buy online, you know, place a quick order for three different stores,
yeah.
then go hit up two other stores,
yep.
and boom, you've multiplied yourself five times. You know, when you hit that $15,000 in sales on Amazon, mm-hmm. and you were selling a little less than that on eBay, but I mean, still impressive on eBay to sell that quantity.
Mm-hmm.
The profits are significantly different, right?
Yeah, they were well. You know, the profit margins back then were higher than they are now.
On Amazon, right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, primarily just because I was just running myself ragged, going to every thrift store I could possibly find and, you know, paying hardly anything for the items and doing a lot of research and finding things that were selling for, you know, a great ROI. And it's certainly less now, but of course it more than makes up for itself in volume.
Yeah, you got to do volume. So now acceptable margins. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see a lot of talk out there about, you know, the ROI and how, you know, I only go for, you know, 100% ROI, 200% ROI.
Yeah.
Or I only go for a 50% profit margin, or yeah. now I've seen people with the 20% profit margin,
yeah.
right? I only want to make $3 or more. I'm not going to go for anything where I don't make $3. Do you have some guidelines that you have worked your way up to?
It's kind of changed over time. Certainly when I started, I was all about, you know, like everyone else, oh, a perfect world, everything would be 100% ROI or better. But, you know, I also started when I didn't have much of a budget, 100% ROI might have been a $2 profit, you know. Mm. And so the bigger my buying budget has gotten, the looser I could be with the acceptable ROI, only because I'm buying, you know, items that are a heck of a lot more than what I was focusing on before. I'm not going to be buying a bunch of, you know, $3 items that I can sell for $12 and make 100% ROI on them. You know, I'm perfectly okay with spending, you know, $200 to make 75 bucks.
Right.
How many, you know, low priced items do you have to sell to make that same profit? You know,
I agree. I mean, I always say about toothpaste, you got to sell a lot of toothpaste to make up for a pair of sneakers or shoes or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, have you moved, since you're in the clothing category and the shoe category, are you moving away in there now? Are you evolving because so many more people got into the gated category?
I haven't seen too much of a difference yet.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. I think people realize when they get in, they're like, oh, this is easy. And then all of a sudden they realize, wait, you got to pay that much to buy those shoes.
Yes.
You got to dump a lot of money in inventory.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing.
For everyone to go after that low hanging fruit. But when they have to pay $50 for a pair of shoes, even though, you know, the ROI might be there, they're kind of like, I don't know. Like, what if that doesn't sell, you know? And then they're worried about their lack of an experience. And then, you know, I still don't see that much competition in the gated categories.
Hmm. That's neat. That's really neat. Okay, so let's take – I want to take another turn because you're not busy enough. You've decided that you need another project.
Yeah.
And so you have a group that you're part of.
Yes.
So talk about that.
Yes. I have business partners, Bob Steele and Jeremy Wilson, and the three of us just have always – when we were starting, you know, in our Amazon journeys, we started subscribing to product lists like everyone else. And then we kind of explored finding a virtual assistant. And then we decided, hey, you know, let's, you know, just have a virtual assistant for ourselves and see how that worked out. And then, you know, by word of mouth, we had friends that we said, hey, you know, we have a virtual assistant. Would you, you know, maybe like to, you know, share their services with us? Well, one thing led to another. And now we actually employ 7 virtual assistants.
Because you're not busy enough, again.
And,
notice the theme here. There is a theme here.
Yeah, because if I have one spare second, my mind is just going and I'm on to the next thing. Yeah, so we share 7 virtual assistants that we employ, and we started a product sourcing company, Elite Product Sourcing. Just started it small, and again, that just sort of snowballed. And now we offer a variety of product sourcing packages, whether you want to be in a mastermind group with a, you know, 15, it's capped at 15 members. And it's kind of an intimate group where you can ask questions. And we have the virtual assistant product sourcing for us during the day. Or if you prefer, you know, just getting a daily email with, you know, maybe 5 to 10 items that you could possibly purchase online through online arbitrage, you can subscribe to, you know, one of the daily email lists.
And I see those out there. Now, are you specific to a category? Can you, can I isolate down and say, hey, I want shoes and clothing, or
absolutely,
I want, I'm trying to think of a, too many weird categories, toys or whatever. I mean, so you have some generic ones and then you have gated ones too?
Yes. Yeah. We have 4 mastermind groups right now. There are a few open spots in each, and we kind of call those the classic mastermind groups. They are pretty much every category. So even if you aren't ungated in a few categories, there's still plenty of finds for you. But also, you know, we had members that said, hey, you know, I want to find some stuff in watches, or
because it teaches you.
Yeah.
You learn.
Yes. And that's the important thing too. You know, back when I subscribed to product find lists, they always, no matter how good or bad they were, to be honest, they always paid for themselves. But most importantly, it taught me how to product source on my own.
Absolutely.
You know,
you start to say, wait, I saw something,
yes,
like that. Oh,
yes.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with it. It's a mental shift.
Yeah. Introduced me to more stores. I followed those rabbit trails. I know where in the store to look. You know, I learned about getting emails and, you know, watching for promotions and sales. And it just was a huge, you know, learning experience for me. So, other than the classic VA mastermind group, we also have a newly launched mastermind group that focuses on only clothing and shoes. Well, and I should say also other items that you find in those categories as well. So handbags, sunglasses, and things of that nature.
Okay.
And then the daily email list, same thing. You can get an ungated list, or you can get clothing and shoes.
And how much do these cost?
There's several different packages. We offer discounted packages as well if you want to subscribe to more than one list. Basically, the cheapest package we offer is $30 for 10 product finds from the top 5% of Amazon categories. And then our top package is the VA Mastermind Group for clothing and shoes, and that's $200 a month. And then we have a whole smorgasbord of options in between that. So there's something to fit every budget.
Right. So you can, and the recommendation would be is to start small,
yeah,
and build yourself up, because you got to learn how to use these things. And, you know, with 15 people and, you know, assuming they're not in your, well, these are online buys. So, you know, you know, the odds of the price tanking, you know, probably not that quick. And the one thing I find about most lists is I run out of money before I can buy everything on the list.
Absolutely.
Because you're getting these lists so frequent, and there's so many opportunities. You got to pick and choose. And out of the 15 people, you're all going to pick and choose differently.
Oh yeah. I can't tell you how many times even, you know, I've purchased something that one of our virtual assistants has found, and nobody in the group has purchased it for whatever reason. We all have different buying criteria. We all have different budgets. What works for me may not work for others. And so, you know, even out of 15 members, the chances of more than just a few people purchasing the item is very slim.
Okay, so you, man, you got a lot going on. I thought I was busy. You're crushing me. Could you do me a favor and walk me through kind of a day, a week, or something? Because clearly you have mastered your time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's times it doesn't work well and you can't be on all the time. But when you're on, what's a day look like for you? What's a typical week look like? How do you approach all that you're doing?
Well, you know, really, I'm only putting in probably 20 hours a week work hours now. It wasn't always like that. I mean, there were times where I was working way beyond full-time hours to get to where I am. But, you know, a basic week, I'll probably go out one day for some retail arbitrage, and I don't really count that as work hours only because
you like to shop. You've already told us you've been bred to shop.
Oh,
I mean, that's your thing.
Like, you know, my mom comes with, you know, my cousins will come with, they're helping me throw things in the cart. They just think it's great. And it's just enjoyable. You know, it's like it's a hobby or something.
It's a social thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We just have fun doing that. And they have fun. You know, I'll say to them, hey, you know, watch for this item for me. And I'll get a call. Oh my gosh, I found 20. Should I get them? But, you know, as far as the rest of the week, I just, you know, it's a normal family week. I get up earlier than everyone else so that I could get some work done. I'm interacting with our elite product sourcing members, you know, posting some bonus product finds in the morning. I'm doing my ordering. If I do use Prime Zero Prep as my processing center now.
So are you sending all your products there pretty much?
Yes. Any of the companies that will enable me to ship to an address that doesn't match my credit card address, yes, definitely. Everything goes to them.
And let me ask that question. How many do you have trouble with that?
Very few.
Okay. So for the most part, most of them will do that because that's not uncommon anymore. So you're sending him most everything, Brandon, at Prime Zero Prep. And they're growing. I mean, he's such a great guy. They're really doing well. And so they're processing most of your items. So you've taken that piece out.
Yes, it's been a complete game changer for me. I mean, I had reached kind of, you know, this point where it's like, okay, I either have to hire someone or I have to use a prep center. And I have a hard time relinquishing control.
Yeah, I was going to say that. How did you make that, you know, you're at a pivot point.
Yes, I was. And I kind of just thought to myself, okay, look, his business is in a tax-free state. So basically, you know, I'm paying 7.5% sales tax here in New York on anything I'm purchasing. So the tax savings alone on anything, you know, $12 to $13 or greater, is paying for the service. Not to mention the fact that, you know, if I did hire an employee, I'd have to pay them. I would have to manage them. I would have to train them. And I just thought, wow, you know, like their fees like were amazing compared to the amount of time and the amount of funding I would have to put in, at least at this point, to having an employee here. And, you know, it's kind of nice for me to be a free bird right now and not have, you know, to look after anyone but just my own direct family. You know, bringing someone else on board and training them is, you know, just something I'm not ready to do yet. And the processing center was the perfect answer for that. It's been great.
So what's left? You're still shipping out eBay stuff that's not on Amazon, right?
Yes.
So and Etsy. How many hours a week are you spending doing that?
Oh, I am down to the point where I'm not shipping every day for eBay like you're supposed to maintain your, you know, status. Basically, I just said I can't be shipping every single day. So probably three times a week, I'll take an hour or two. And, you know, like today, I did a huge sale on my eBay store and I had to ship out 23 items. But, you know, on average, it might be 10 items a day I'm selling still on eBay.
And you're not looking to grow that number. You're just winding down.
Winding down. It just was huge. I had probably at one point 2,600 items, non-Amazon. This was just in my house on clothing racks and shelving units.
Okay. So I can relate. I have 5,000 SKUs, so I can truly relate.
Yeah.
So you're just winding that down and letting that run its course. I'm sitting there thinking about how perfect you've really worked that through, and yet such a short period of time. Now, I guess we could argue that you started 10 years ago down this path, right? I would know. I guess we'd even go further back. Your training started very young and have taken you to this point. So all these things have built on each other, and you've been able to take advantage. It is interesting that you were able to give up control, but that's probably part of that teaching thing too, recognizing and you know, letting the letting them handle things. I'm sure that's a skill set that, that you've been trained with too. So what's next?
Oh, I think next I'm just going to continue to, you know, grow my Amazon business. I did get into merch by Amazon before they, you know, blocked everybody or, you know, I guess created the invite only.
Because you needed another project, but go ahead. You needed one more thing. But, that, you know, then again, you do have that, that you know, that clothing thing. I mean, that's your thing.
Yeah. And so that was it, like, oh, wow, when I found out about that. Definitely want to do some private labeling. Definitely looking, you know, in the clothing category for that. I do have a couple of wholesale connections. I want to work on, you know, expanding my wholesale access. Probably I wrote an ebook in the past regarding eBay. I think I would like to maybe do something, you know, about selling shoes and clothing now on Amazon, now that I'm doing that.
What wouldn't you do? Let me ask you this then, because what wouldn't you do again? What would you go back and undo, you know, and just say, you know what, I guess, you know, even selling on eBay, you wouldn't be where you are if you didn't learn all those skills and trades.
Right.
But you know, so let's talk to somebody who's, you know, selling on Amazon. They already know how to sell, and they're doing okay, but they're hitting those ceilings. You know, I always say that the $20,000 mark or $30,000 mark, once you get past there, I think you figured it out. But to get to that point, not that hard, but to get past it is really hard.
Yeah.
So what would you do differently to help you get past it? I mean, would you have gone to Brendan earlier?
Yeah.
Do you think it would have worked, though,
going
to Brendan earlier? You do.
I was right at the breaking point of just running myself ragged. I mean, my porch was absolutely filled with stuff. And I just kept saying, oh, you got to do it. You got to maintain your house. You got to process this stuff. And that's just my nature. Like, I think I can do everything. I think I have to do everything. And it just got to the point where I said, okay, look, you're exhausting yourself for absolutely no reason. There's an answer to this. And not only are you exhausting yourself, but you're stifling your growth. Because, you know, there's a way in which you can relinquish a little bit of that control to someone and, you know, grow exponentially by doing that. And so I finally just, you know, actually, my business partner, Bob Steele, had already been using Prime Zero Prep, was very happy with it. So like in hindsight, I completely would have done that earlier.
Okay. And so, and talking, having somebody you trust that close to you, that also would help because it probably allayed any of your fears, right? And, oh, well, wait, what if they don't do this? Well, they do that.
Yeah.
What if this doesn't happen? They do that. You know, I interviewed Brendan and I was really impressed with his process. They really have thought it through. They really are your warehouse worker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really are. I mean, it is really impressive. And you know, I also interviewed Todd Lammy, and Todd Lammy's advice I thought was one of the best pieces of advice. I don't think people are thinking about. He sells clothing and shoes, and he's like, Steve, most of my shoes come in through New York, and clothing comes in from California, and that. And so he has a prep company up in Oregon that he uses. He also uses the Bullards, and then he also uses Brennan. Mm-hmm. And so that way, if there's an issue in any part of the country, he can just swing it to somewhere else. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty sound. That's a neat growth phase.
Yeah.
Issue, because if one has a problem, which one of them will have a problem,
right.
I mean, let's face it, you know, the weather will change or something's going to happen out of our control. I'm like, huh, that's really smart.
Yeah.
And so that's probably a growth thing to think about. Wow, you really, really, really doing well. So how about any books, podcasts, anything you think that somebody, you're a teacher, so, you know, I'm not reading calculus again, sorry, not happening, but give us something that you think that would be helpful to help our listeners.
Well, you know, right now, you know, speaking about relinquishing some of the control in my business, I did download Ryan Grant's Outsourcing Sourcing, and I'm interested to, you know, take a look at that. I've been considering, you know, maybe having some RA, I guess, assistance where, you know, I'm thinking maybe create a Facebook group where my local RA assistants, I'll post in there, hey, you know, I need this item as many as you could find at Walmart. I'll need this item as many as you could find at Target. And so I thought maybe by reading his book, it would give me a little bit of an insight into, you know, how I could get that to work. I mean, I'm familiar with, you know, the hiring process. When I was, you know, filling in as the assistant principal, I sat in on, you know, hiring and interviewing and things like that. So I'm not worried necessarily about the, you know, hiring or finding someone, but maybe just how to really get that to function, you know, in the Amazon world.
Mm. Now, I interviewed Gary Baird, and Gary has a team of, I think, 7 people doing that. And rather than using Facebook, and now they do have Messenger, he's using WhatsApp.
Oh.
And it's just, he said, it's incredible where there's somebody in a Target, and they're like, oh, I got this one, but go over, blah, blah, blah. And apparently, I've not used it, but apparently it's a really good communication tool. So just throw that out
yeah.
there for you, too,
excellent.
To think about WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Okay, any other podcasts or anything that you listen to that you seem to help get you focused or help you although I just can't imagine you have the time, but go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I haven't had the time to, you know, I'm an avid reader normally. I've just been so busy. I have not read much of anything in a long time, and it's just something I keep telling myself, you got to slow down and do a few things that you enjoy again, even if it is for the business. You know, I do enjoy reading. Right now I'm creating I'm downloading courses that I've been interested in. Jim Cockrum's wholesale course, I downloaded that. I'm in Sell Profit. I just, you know, even if it's something that I think I know everything about, I don't. So I'm just like a sponge. I just really enjoy listening to podcasts, reading books, taking these courses, because you never know when that little nugget of information that is like, oh, wow, yeah, I didn't look at it from this perspective before, or I didn't think about it this way. So I'm constantly just, you know, when there's a new course that's out, when there's a new book that's out, I get it and I add it, you know, to my to watch or to read list.
So you're investing in yourself, even though, I mean, let's face it, you had an incredible year. You had a good year last year, but you had an incredible year this
yeah.
year, but you're still investing in yourself. I think that's such great advice,
yeah.
you know, rather than being complacent in things. And then, because you know what's going to happen, things are going to change, guaranteed.
Yeah.
And so having that stuff behind you is just, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Man, that's great. Okay, so goal of the podcast is to help people move forward, right? So we kind of already talked about this, but I want you to see if I can get one more nugget from it, because I know you got a million more. It's to help people move forward, right? So they're stuck at that point, they're at that 20 or 30,000. What can they do tomorrow in their business? Where would you start if you were in that position again? The best piece of advice you can give them?
I would say I get an awful lot of messages about this. And I think one of the secrets is getting ungated in all of the categories you can, so that you're not limiting yourself when you're outsourcing. Because, you know, you'll find, say, an item like a backpack. And that backpack could be in toys, it could be in clothing, it could be in luggage, it could be in shoes. And so, you know, you might have found this fantastic item and you were too scared to go through the ungating process, and therefore you have to put the item down. And, you know, if you're ungated in all of these categories, you don't have to worry about that.
And even if you have to pay for it, it doesn't
Absolutely.
Matter. Just get it as fast as you
yes.
can.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's not a scary thing. I think everyone, you know, the messages I get, they're sort of terrified of the process. And, you know, I was too when I started it. I don't know what to expect. Like, oh, what if I don't, you know, provide what they ask for? Well, they just tell you no, and you just try again. I mean, there's, you know, there's nothing scary about the process. So
it's like wholesale accounts. The worst they can do is say, no,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're not going to sell to you. Okay.
Absolutely.
Next guy,
yeah.
next guy,
yeah.
next guy. Okay. Best way to get in touch with you.
Definitely. You can find me on Facebook under my name, Brianna Muller Green. I also have a blog that I used to run called Hustling from Home. You can find me there. And of course you can find me in Elite Product Sourcing. It's EPS, Elite Product Sourcing. Amazon Finds is our Facebook group, and our business page is just under Elite Product Sourcing. So,
and I'll have links to it all.
Okay.
Man, I appreciate you taking this time. I know you're busy. Everybody knows you're busy now. Everybody, the secret's out. This is the secret to success. Work hard,
yeah.
right?
That,
yeah. That's it.
Yes, that's it.
Wow, it's magic, right? Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I wish you nothing but a great holiday, and then just an amazing next year, as I hope it's equally as amazing as it was this year. Just thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Man, I knew she was great. I watched her success, and it's just terrific. And what a terrific person! And man, what a great way, you know, as 2015 is coming to a close, you really need to be start planning about 2016. I really hope you're getting a lot from this series. I know I am. The next one is just as impressive. Again, another amazing, strong woman, and I just can't wait for to listen to it again myself. So I hope you're enjoying this. Love you to come out to ecommercemomentum.com. Check out the website. It's moving to a new platform, I think, over the next week or two. And so there'll be lots of other things for you. Love you to subscribe there. Pretty soon we'll have a newsletter coming out, give you some more information. But, man, I wish you nothing but the best over this holiday season and a great 2016. I can't wait. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.